Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. This is Speak Up, and I am Kira, and we are broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Coquitlam, and Tsleil-Waututh people. Today is another special episode of Speak Up for Pride Week, and it's my second episode of Speak Up in 1 week, which is pretty exciting for me, and I hope that you enjoy this show as well. This week has felt, the speak ups that I have done this week have really felt like an opportunity for me to kind of talk about the things that I love and the people and places that I love in Vancouver, given the special episode of Pride. and today's episode is really no exception to that. In fact, it's kind of, it feels like the epitome of that statement of being able to talk about the people that I love and the things that I love. Because I actually am going to be sharing with you an interview that I did with a dear friend of mine, Ralph Escamillon. And also, just as a heads up, because of the general theme of today's episode, which will be Vogue and ballroom culture in Vancouver and also a little bit more broadly, I'll be playing maybe a little more music than would be regularly heard on a Speak Up episode, just because the music of ballroom culture is obviously a huge part of the culture itself, so I wanted to share some of that with you as well. So as I mentioned, I will be sharing an interview that I did with someone who I believe to be a Vancouver icon. Ralph Escamillon is a queer Canadian Filipinx performance artist, choreographer, teacher, and community leader. He has trained in contemporary dance and practices multiple styles of dance and performance. In addition to being and having been a member of various companies and dance groups in the city, Ralph is a pioneer of the Kiki ballroom scene on the West Coast and is the founder of Van Vogue Jam, which is Vancouver's kind of hub for Vogue and learning about ballroom culture. Ralph was previously a member of the House of Amazon, which is like a house from the ballroom scene that's I think it's based in the it's mostly US based, and he trained in New York with the mother of the House of Amazon, Leomi Maldonado, also known as the Wonder Woman of Vogue. And he's also Ralph is the mother of Vancouver's first Kiki house, which is the Kiki House of Visalia, and I'm actually a member of that house, which makes him my mother. I talked yesterday with Ralph about ballroom culture, the ballroom scene in Canada and Vancouver, and also Van Vogue Jam's Kiki Vogue Ball, which we heard a little PSA for right before this show, which is taking place this Thursday. It's going to be so much fun. I'm really, 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 really excited. Van Vogue Jam puts on a ball usually about twice a year. So there's one in the summer and one around the holiday season, usually in January. And I've gone to almost all of them now, and it's always been a good time. So in our interview that I did with Ralph, we tried to go over ballroom culture and Vogue in pretty good detail, but obviously I would have missed things in some of my questions, and maybe we didn't have time to go over some things to give a really detailed explanation of this topic. So if it's something that interests you, there's lots of resources out there that you can go to learn more. And you can also get involved with ballroom culture in Vancouver by attending some of Ralph's classes and looking into Van Vogue Jam a little bit more, and we talk about that in our interview. Also, I wanted to mention, in our interview, which is a pre-recorded interview, I play a Vogue beat, and I forgot to mention the name of it in the pre-recorded bit. So the Vogue beat that you will hear in the middle of the interview is called Legendary Children, and it's by Byrell the Great. So if you want to look it up after, that is what to look for. I just wanted to, before we go into that interview, I wanted to give us a listen to a song that is an early example of house music, and it is an essential element to a lot of the music of Vogue, which is based a lot in house music. And this particular song serves as a base for modern Vogue beats, not all, but many, and it's called The Ha. It's a house beat from 1991, released by a duo called Masters at Work. It's about a 6-minute song. I think it's a really fun song, so let's give that a listen, and then I will play my interview with Ralph.
If you're a regular listener of this show or other shows on CJSF, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us about what you like and why you like it, as well as ways we can improve our programming. To leave comments, please email cjsfprog@sfu.ca or call 778-782-4423. This information can also be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
All right, you're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Coquitlam, and Tsleil-Waututh people. I am Kira. You're listening to Speak Up. We just listened to The Ha, which is a classic house beat and a beat that serves as the base for a lot of modern Vogue beats. And this is a special Pride episode of Speak Up, where we're going to be listening to an interview that I did with Ralph Escamillan, who is the founder of Van Vogue Jam, and just a wonderful friend of mine. So here is the interview that I did with Ralph yesterday morning. We talked a little bit earlier than I think either of us would have ideally wanted to, so we start out a little groggy, but I think it's a great conversation. I had a lot of fun talking to Ralph. And I think it's pretty informative and pretty fun. So, yeah, let's take a listen. Hi, Ralph. How are you this morning?
Hi. I'm good. That's early, but good.
Yeah, a little too early, maybe, but here we go. So I wanted to start off our conversation with a bit of background information for those listening who may have never actually heard of what Vogue is or what ballroom culture is. Could you give people listening a quick debrief on ballroom culture and Vogue?
Yeah, Vogue and ballroom culture originated in Harlem in New York. The dates can be very much it's in conversation still, but I think a majority of us agree that it came from the 60s after Crystal LaBeija was kind of like outraged by the racism that came from the drag balls that existed in the New York scene, and through that kind of created their own world, their own scene, which became ballroom. Yeah, so for a lot of people that don't know what a ball is, for me, the ball is kind of like a queer pageant, I would say I can explain it. Not just doing drag and per se, or just voguing, but a multitude of different categories that really give space and the ability for the vastness of the queer community to be seen and celebrated.
Yeah, and like from my own understanding of ballroom culture, which is still growing, I'm still learning, there's a lot of different elements to it. Like, yes, there are balls, and like Vogue is a category that you can perform in a ball, but there's also like houses. Houses are a huge part of ballroom culture. Could you talk about what a house is?
Yeah, so houses originally came out of more of a necessity for the youth that were being pushed out of homes because of the homophobia that was happening at the time. So a house is literally a home that people would reside in after being kicked out. So that's where mothers and fathers came involved to help take care of those kids and those people. And so the houses, as a house, it was a place for living, but also became a place for people to create their own tribe, their own family, their own chosen family. And in ballroom, there's a differentiation, that's the right word, of chosen house family, and then you're also chosen queer family. So there's actually two separate things. And ironically, a lot of the ballroom scene in New York are interwoven with the queer family and the house family. So everyone kind of is part of everyone, which is really beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that I kind of wanted to touch on is within ballroom culture, people who have been a part of the community for a very long time and who have reached like a high level of skill, maybe in a certain category, can reach like legendary or icon status. How does that come about, and what is the meaning of that in the community?
Yeah, when you're a legend, that means that you've for 5 years you've conquered one category and won a cash prize or a trophy over and over. So say you are a runway queen and like you walk runway and won consecutively for 5 years, you get legendary status.
Okay.
And for icon, it means that you've done it over at least 20 years and have solidified your name so people like would know you in the ballroom scene. Okay. People like Laomi, like Deshaun. Laomi is icon status now. So.
And that was a recent thing for her, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. So now we have a bit of a more basic understanding for those listening of like what this community and this culture is. It is hugely important to actually recognize where this culture came from and the history of Vogue, and like why is it so important to understand this in terms of like starting to interact with the culture and needing to know the history?
Yeah, I think for me as an Asian artist, as an Asian Canadian artist, I find like it's important to acknowledge the form and like specifically ballroom culture, since it does come from Black and Latinx people. I feel every time I do it, I always want to acknowledge that so that we know that like we just should be doing it now. I just feel like that's just the right thing to do now. Mm-hmm. And I think there's like a huge culture of like this idea of taking like appropriative culture. It like comes from like, that's very like reminiscent to like colonial like overtaking of communities. And I think it's our duty as leaders now in any space to really acknowledge where things come from.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you love most about the community that exists around like Vogue and ballroom? And has your involvement with this community brought you anything kind of in your personal life that has been really fulfilling for you?
Mm-hmm. So I kind of started dancing at like 14, and I started with break dancing first, and then got into like every other street dance style, and got into contemporary dance, and then on the way I did learn about whacking and also voguing, like more closer together than apart. I explored a lot about whacking, which is like another dance form that's really similar to Vogue but not Vogue at all. And then when I was in New York, or when I was living in Toronto for like 1 year after I graduated high school, I was exposed to like the Kiki scene there, their Kiki scene in Toronto, and mm-hmm. I was really fascinated by it. It just kind of captivated me, and like the energy was just amazing, and I just never felt anything like that, where I felt so connected through a movement, like a physical movement style, and also like it being coming from like a queer perspective, like by queer people for queer people, I think made it really special. Mm-hmm. And then after that experience, going to New York and training and just taking a few classes like by amazing teachers, and it really fueled my want to recreate that energy that they have there to Vancouver. Yeah, I think the talking point of it being a form made by and for queer people, I think is amazing. And I think that's something that is so unique to ballroom. So that's kind of what started it all for me.
Yeah, sounds like it has been a hugely important thing in your life. You mentioned briefly the Kiki scene. Can you talk a little bit about the difference between Kiki scenes and then like larger, more mainstream scene?
Yeah. So some mainstream scenes are kind of like the big houses. So House of Ninja, House of La Beja, House of Extravaganza, like those are considered mainstream houses. So mainstream houses means the balls that you go to a mainstream ball are a lot higher, like $3,000, $5,000, $1,000, $2,000 prizes for trophies. Mm-hmm. And then Kiki scene would be like the scene that we have, like I always call it more like rural, but it's rural not the best term, but maybe more it's just on a lower level under mainstream, and it's usually a place for people to experiment, and then from the Kiki scene they would go into a mainstream house. Okay. So for example, and also Kiki scenes, like usually you only get like a trophy and like maybe $10 or something, really like the prizes aren't as high, the stakes aren't as high. And say you're in a Kiki house, and then you walk a ball, like a mainstream ball, if we're part of a mainstream house, you would be 007. And that would also be returned vice versa. So if you're part of a mainstream house and walk a Kiki ball, you'd be a 007. So 007 would mean that you're a solo agent, or like a single agent.
Okay, right. Yeah. So it would be, so, like, just as an example to illustrate to people listening, because I'm a member of the Kiki House of Visalia, if I walked in a mainstream ball, which I would not be able to, but it's beside the point, I would be Kira 007.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Even like for me now, like, so I was Amazon, mainstream Amazon with Laomi as a mother, but now I'm not anymore. I'm in transition, and now I'm 007 in mainstream, and I'll be the mother of the House of Visalia in Kiki.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So shifting a little bit to a slightly less kind of personal angle, I mean, maybe it's still pretty personal. What are your thoughts on, like, this? There has been, in the last few years, a, like, much more increased visibility of Vogue and ballroom culture in the media. I mean, obviously, with things like Paris is Burning, there was increased visibility in, like, the 80s, but it's kind of getting that visibility more and more again through things like Pose and My House. What are your thoughts on this?
I think it's really exciting. I think it's always... Yeah, how do I explain it? So I guess, like, the first wave of, like, the big Vogue thing was, like, Madonna, and then it kind of died off again, and Paris is Burning, and then the documentary came out in, like, the early 90s, and then the next phase, of, and then that faded in. Like, I feel just, like, it just trend. Like, if it just kind of happened, and I think, like, the work that the ballroom scene has been doing... I think specifically after America's Best Dance Crew, actually, when Vogue Evolution was first on TV, mm-hmm. when you saw actual people from the ballroom scene, like, voguing on a TV show, I think that really helped solidify this infrastructure for a true representation of the form. That being said, I think shows like RuPaul's Drag Race or artists like come from that pedigree or that milieu have also, like, in a way, reinterpreted what Vogue is and just in ballroom is. I just hope, like, personally people take the time to, like, search further into the cultures that they're being exposed to and just kind of, like, do the research, because I feel like in our generation I find people don't want to do the work. They just let the surface be the truth, and with many things, with many cultures, with many movements, there's more than just the surface, you know, what you see in front. Like, there's so much yeah. that, like, behind it that created that form today. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
So, I think it's great that we have all these types of visibility for ballroom culture out there, and I just hope people take the time to look deeper.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of yeah. leads into my next question, because there are what could be called, like, inauthentic representations or appropriations of the culture through things like RuPaul's Drag Race, mm-hmm. incorporating elements of Vogue into their choreography in ways, and, like, yeah. calling, like, dips death drops and
shablams,
and yeah. just kind of misrepresenting the dance form. That's how it looks to me. I mean, yeah. is that something that you find frustrating, or that is just kind of disappointing, but that's just the way it is? Like, how do you
yeah know? Yeah, I feel you know how I feel. But I think we have to acknowledge that just based on how, like, the culture is, how cultures are created, how trends and things are created, that these things happen. And I feel like I totally allow people in the drag community to use that term, because I feel like that's their term. But I do also explain, like, that the proper term for a move that they call a shablam is called a dip. Mm-hmm. The true term for it is called a dip. And shablam came from actually America's Best Dance Crew, like, in 2000, as a term that was coined to, like, explain the move that all the Vogue Evolution people were doing, which I think is ironic, because I don't know why no one talked about it then, but it's fine. And then death drop was a term that was coined by, like, the Drag Race queens. So I feel like, and then, like, now Shablam is back again. And I'm like, but wait, like, you already had a term that's called death drop. So I'm confused. Yeah. So what is it? So I think there's also a conversation on their end of, like, what the term is. Mm-hmm. But I know in the ballroom scene, we call it a dip. So if you ever learn from me, or if you ever learn from anyone from the ballroom scene, we'll call it a dip. And so that's kind of, like, also this weird kind of code. If a girl really knows this stuff, it's like, they call it a dip, you know?
Yeah.
So, I think, yeah. But then it also creates this tribe and cultness to it. but also, I think, yeah. And I think the girls know, like, people do know, and I think a lot of people like the shows on, the actors on Pose are kind of standing up, and, because Pose is this huge phenomenon now, and it's really taking flight when it comes to visibility for a ballroom. And I'm hoping people like them start shifting the conversation and the narrative of how ballroom culture is being used in the mainstream.
Yeah, that would be really, really interesting to see for sure. And it's really nice to see that, like, with things like Pose, people from the community are actually involved in the creation of the show. Like, Laomi works on the show. I think like Deshaun has worked on the show as well, right?
Yeah, Deshaun, he's like a reoccurring character. So is Laomi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's politics within Pose itself too. I mean, like, not everyone in the ballroom scene is really into it too. Like, it's with anything, it's always going to be subjective to a specific group of people. Like, maybe like to an experience of a certain group of people too. Even if it is niche, like, there's niche within a niche too, right? Like, there's like subjectivity within it. So, and I think that's about to happen. But I think Pose is one of those first shows that really is doing the work. Ryan Murphy is really being the resource, you know, like, to help make this thing happen, you know, which I think is how it should be done. Is it gives opportunity to the people that maybe don't have those resources and let them speak for themselves instead of trying to control the narrative. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
absolutely. So what would you ask people to keep, if you would ask anything of them, but what would you ask people to keep in mind if they're going to start, like, interacting with ballroom culture, like trying to get involved with Vogue? Is there a way that it's like a best way to approach getting involved in, like, learning Vogue?
I'm so old school, so, like, but I feel like I am old school, but I'm not. But I would say, like, to go to a ball, like, go take a class, go to where the root of the form is coming from, go to New York, like, learn from the people that are legend, that are our icons now, that are kind of pushing the form forward. Yeah, it's like, because a lot of this form, it's really beautiful, but it is transmitted through taking class, through dancing, through being part of the culture. And if you don't have a culture surrounding you, you need to go outside of there, and you know what I mean. And even if you do have it around you, you have to go to the source. Though the source is where it's at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're just gonna go to a song break and listen to a Vogue beat.
I don't really consider myself a real legend. I've been at the balls with the legendary children, and I stamp myself with the legendary children. But I'm one of the top upcoming children. We have our status in the ballroom.
skin. All of this skin. Skin, honey. All of this skin. All of this skin. All of this skin. All of this skin. Skin, honey. All of this skin. All of this skin. All of this skin. All of this skin. Skin, honey.
So we kind of just touched on the different styles of Vogue, because Vogue has evolved a lot over its many, many years of existing. Can you talk a little bit about the different like styles that are kind of still being practiced today? So like Vogue Femme, New Way, Old Way still is around. Can you elaborate on like what the different styles are?
Yeah, for sure. So in Vogue, we have Old Way. So Old Way is kind of maybe from the best way of describing it for people that don't know image-wise, that are listening on the radio, is like Madonna's Vogue. So when you see that Vogue, that video, a lot of the movements that they're doing are Old Way Vogue forms. And a little backstory about that. Madonna saw Jose Extravaganza at a club in New York in the 80s and pulled him into the bathroom and said, "I want you for my tour." And so, and there's a really beautiful documentary about that whole experience called Strike a Pose. And I believe it's on Netflix now.
Yeah, I think it is.
So that's really great. So that form historically came as more posing. And I think overreaching all of Vogue, I always explain it in my classes as like, so if you think of drag as like, hair, it being expressed through hair, makeup, lip syncing, and like the costume. Vogue is like, and as a way to like, as a way for drag queens to express iconography, mm-hmm. I always say that Vogue is in a way of expressing iconography through movement and through shape. So yeah, I think that's the best way to explain it for people that aren't familiar with the form.
Yeah.
But historically, a lot of the Old Way moves are like inspired by breakdancing and popping, which in a way are really rigid forms, but also like highly athletic. And then within that, I always like equate like New Way as a closer relative to Old Way. So New Way is kind of like for those hyper flexible girls that are like super bendy, super stretchy. So it's kind of like if you think of Old Way as like Egyptian like tutting shapes in a way.
Yeah, very angular.
Angular, New Way would be like the exaggerated version of that. So like say if you have an arm across your chest, it would be about seeing how far the body could go. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best way of explaining New Way. And Vogue Femme was a form, yeah, created by the trans women of the ballroom scene. So it's a lot more fluid, thinking about more circular movement and more curves and like kind of the Z of the body that is created with when the hip is tilted to one side. So that's kind of, for me, what Vogue Femme is. And I think, and Vogue Femme, and like all the forms have dips, in different ways. So the old way dips are different than the new ways, other than the Vogue Femme dip. And the musicality is also quite different as well. If you see old way, like a lot of the music and the culture of old way is coming from like almost like a disco background of music. Mm-hmm. And like, and then whereas Vogue Femme is kind of pulling more from like the newer house kind of world.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So you trained in New York, right? With Laomi?
Yeah, so my experience with training in Vogue came from a series of workshops with Laomi in a span of 2 years. So I went my first year, and before that I was already exposed to Vogue originally from Jojo Zolina from Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of continued that. He kind of gave me a little taste of what Vogue is, and then I kind of took it on myself to like learn more about it outside of the city. And yeah, so that's where it started, like really like in New York with Laomi. Like, I think that was my first like one-on-one hit with training, and then I took classes around New York as well, but this is like within a summer, so I didn't live in New York. Like, I didn't have the privilege of living there. So a lot of my learning did have to come from like doing a lot of YouTube training as well, and combining it with my trips that I would be able to go to New York here and there. So.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm kind of jumping around in terms of timeline here. But you also spent a year in Toronto and then moved back over to Vancouver.
Yeah.
What were like having lived in Toronto for a while and experiencing the Kiki scene there, and then coming to Vancouver? Like, what were your? How did you feel when you arrived here? Like, was there any established ballroom community here when you arrived?
Well, I mean, so I grew up in Vancouver. So I went to high school in King George and Lord Roberts Elementary School. And when I moved to Toronto, it was kind of my last year of high school. So it was my way of like leaving the nest and like exploring a new world. And like as a dancer, as a working dancer, checking out what else was out there outside of Vancouver. Because all I knew was the Vancouver scene, like Vancouver dancing scene. Mm-hmm. Like commercial, film, television, contemporary dance kind of stuff. So I was in Toronto for a year, and then I came back because of a training program that I wanted to finish. So that was like a 4-year program, and I only did 1 year, which was modus operandi. So that was the main reason of me coming back to Vancouver. But the ballroom, like the Vogue stuff, came actually after, almost maybe three years after I moved back to Vancouver.
Okay.
So when I did those trips to New York, and like there isn't a ballroom scene in Vancouver. Like, there really wasn't people that were really teaching just Vogue.
Yeah.
There were people that were teaching a mixture of like forms, but no one that was just teaching Vogue. So when I came back after those trips in New York, and like being exposed to like the culture there, and also pulling back from my experience in Toronto, I had to really create a scene in order for me to continue my own training. So it was really more, it was quite selfish. It was like, I need to teach a class so I can keep training. So, and start sharing and building dancers that I could train with, really. That kind of was my main catalyst for bringing the form to the city. Yeah, and like, there are people that have done balls in the city in the past, but there was still a lot of confusion with exactly like how the ball was run, or like the proper way of doing it, or even terminology. So I feel like I really want to try to bring it in a way where you could honor the form entirely. And not saying that I'm like the master of Vogue in the city, like I'm still also learning, and I encourage everyone else to learn with me so we can build a team together. Mm-hmm.
So that kind of leads quite well into my next question. You founded Van Vogue Jam. Can you talk a little about what Van Vogue Jam is, like what its role is, and why its presence in the city has such an importance?
So for me, coming from a background of like a contemporary dance training background and learning and having the privilege to dance and tour around the world and also work on film and television, I noticed this like big hole in like our, in like just dance in general, of like access to dance. And I felt that, like, when I taught my first Vogue classes in Vancouver, they were at a studio that charged for the classes, and I just felt like it wasn't bringing the right people that needed the form. And specifically in the context of, like, if we think of the dance as being the therapeutic, like, community engaging kind of medium, I didn't feel it was being used in its entirety in this, at the studio. So I took it onto my own hands to start teaching the classes outside of the studio in, like, random spaces. And it was, like, slowly became Van Vogue Jam. And the classes would be free and are still free by donation. And the importance for me for that is, yeah, giving access to, like, the everyday person that maybe doesn't know how to, that wants to know how to dance or just scared to, have, to, like, commit to, like, the financial cost, but also people that can't afford dance. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a larger conversation about how we've, like, commodified dance and, like, the history of, like, commodification of art. And I think for me, Van Vogue Jam became this catalyst, like this, like, little, like, micro project, which became a really big project. Yeah. But to kind of, like, experiment with how can we do that? How can we give access to people? And the beauty, like, I love bragging about the variety of people that come to class. Like, we have Gavin, who's 12 years old. We have Noel, who's, like, now 17. And then we have Noel's mom, who's, like, in her, like, later 40s. And, like, we have people that are bank tellers, that are, like, that work in construction, that are, like, that are huge fashionistas, that, or that, like, do community service at your local, like, soup kitchen. You know, like, so, yeah, like, we have such a range. Mm-hmm. It's, like, really everyone. And I think that's what, to me, street dance culture in general and, like, ballroom is. It's like this, like, mishmash of people that come together through this, like, medium and this form.
Absolutely.
And it's, like, it's really exciting. And I feel like with the support of ArtStarts that have been helping us out with the Creative Spark Grant, we've been able to really, like, continue these classes. And our idea in the future is to become nonprofit as well and continue this conversation of accessible dance in the city.
Yeah. Thinking about Van Vogue Jam and how important it can be, is, like, it also creates a huge sense of community if it's something that you, yeah, feel, like, are able to keep going to. Even for myself, like, when I started going, I was, in some ways still am, an extremely, like, introverted, socially awkward person, but it's helped me, like, going and, like, connecting with people and dancing with them and learning to just, like, be less self-conscious has been,
yeah,
so important. And I feel like I've actually kind of come out of my shell a little bit since starting,
yes,
to go.
Yes. Yes.
And of course, I've met amazing people. I've met you. I've met, like, all of the, everyone who I see whenever I go is just, everyone's been kind. I haven't met anyone that I wouldn't be able to say, like, that's one of my friends, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, because ballroom inherently has this really, like, shade and reading as part of ballroom as well.
Yeah.
And I think a lot, my first thing about bringing it to the community, to Vancouver, is, like, how do we give it in a really loving way? Because there's a lot, it's really easy for it to become a really negative place for some people. And I think we've cultivated that. We've cultivated a really beautiful space in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to New York, when you get out of the city, it's hard. People are, like, ballroom is, like, really real. So this is where, for me, like, we are in a bubble too, and I think it's a beautiful bubble. But also, I think if we are to expand and get bigger and become more well known as a community and as a scene, I think we gotta start fighting.
toughening up a little bit.
But I think the overall tone in the West Coast scene in general, at least in Portland, Seattle, and Vancouver, we're quite loving, and we're trying to really, like, share the form as much as we can without it going into these negative spaces.
You mentioned reading and shade, and just as, like, as a slight aside, could you talk briefly about what that means, just for people who might not know?
Yeah. So reading is, like, a fact. So reading is, like, you got your dress from Winners Sales Rack, you know, where shade is, like, I don't know how it is. Oh my god, this is such a bad.
I think of immediately my mind goes to Dorian Corey in Paris is Burning, saying, like, yes. I don't need to tell you you're ugly because you know you're ugly.
Yes. That's a great, that's the best example. That's an example of that. Yeah, I'm not that great at reading or at shade at all. I feel like I'm getting a little better, but it's not my strong suit. So, but we do, we show our shade in our voguing too. So like that whole culture is actually quite a big part of like the dance form itself as well, and how we battle.
So we talked a bit about Van Vogue Jam, but there's now this Vancouver's first Kiki House, House of Visalia. How did the house kind of come to be through Van Vogue Jam and kind of come to solidify?
Yeah. So I really wanted to keep Van Vogue Jam just in my closet, and I was really because of the history of ballroom scenes and like in other cities and like how negative I had experiences with them in a way. I didn't really want to build my own house or anything. And also, I didn't think I had, like, the right to have a house yet. But a lot of the students that were taking class, people like you, we hanged out every night after class. We built this little, like, family, and it kind of felt like it just made sense to, like, build this house together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think when I started buying Vogue Jam, I just wanted to be about the classes. But because of, like, the continued support of, like, these people that would take my class after, and then, like, hang out with them after, we kind of built this little community, and then this little family. And then after maybe, like, the second ball, I really felt, and also my students really felt, like, we needed to, like, come together as a house. And I was like, okay, here we go, let's do it. And so with the support of Naomi at the time, and I asked her, like, can I have a house? Like, can I have a Kiki house? And she's like, yeah, you can do it. Like, I was able to open my Kiki House of Visalia. And Visalia was named after the designer for the creative director of Vêtements and Balenciaga now, Demna Visalia, who's quite like a revolutionary in our generation of fashion.
Yeah, that's like a common thing as well that people might not know is that, like, houses often, not always, but often the name of a house comes from like a design house or a designer.
Yeah, I mean, historically, I mean, but also there's House of Ninja, which wasn't like a house, like a fashion house. And
yeah.
I think, and there's like, and with Kiki, it even gets more obscure too. And like, there's like houses that are like House of Disney, which are really fun, and like House of Flora in Portland. Like, So yeah, I think it's just more, like, especially Kiki, it's supposed to be just fun. Like, it's just having fun.
So talking a bit about balls, there is a ball coming up in Vancouver this week on Thursday, and it's Van Vogue Jam's fifth Kiki ball, right?
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about what this is going to be like, or what people can expect if they go?
Yeah, for sure. So kind of pulling from earlier, so a ball is similar to kind of like this, like a queer pageant. So when you're coming to the sports ball this year at the warehouse, the whole theme is sports. So all the categories we've kind of broken down have a sport element to it, or kind of a sport kind of motif. Categories that we're doing for this year are Sex Siren, Virgin Vogue, Performance, Hand Performance, Commentating, Space, and Bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And only maybe one or two out of the seven are actually dance, whereas the rest is like based on face, based on your runway walk, your costume. So they all kind of impart different artistic merits in each category. And then similar to like any competition, you're going to have your prelim, and then you're going to have your battles, and then whoever, and then people keep battling until there's one left standing, and they become the winner.
Yeah.
And then this year where they're getting a really cute little medal. And also, each prize is being sponsored by a local company or organization in Vancouver. Companies like Lululemon Lab, Curly Q, Cartam, Ernest Ice Cream this year as well. We have Equinox that's giving a really crazy prize too. So yeah, it's really a community event.
Yeah, and also people don't have to compete if they go, right? Like, you can just go and watch and enjoy. It's not...
Yeah, so you can be a spectator, you can just watch, but also, and if you want to learn more, actually, we're bringing in three really great guests from Toronto. One, a DJ Black Cat, who's a DJ for the ball. We're going to have Seven, who's going to be teaching commentating as well, the day of the ball. And also Matthew Chu, or Dynasty, who's going to be teaching Old Way. So if you want to learn more about ballroom and Vogue and the form, that we'll be doing a class right before the ball from 1 to 3 p.m. at KW Studios. And we have packages online for that to do ticketing for both spectator workshops and competitor workshops.
Okay, so both workshops are the day of the ball.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
And then later this week as well, there's going to be a lot of Vogue things happening throughout the city. A really big thing that's happening is that we're doing like a... So at the Museum of Anthropology on August 3rd, we'll be doing a kind of performance ball, expo ball, at the Museum of Anthropology as part of their event, as their queer kind of celebrations happening there. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a whole day of also queer films being screened by Love Intersections. I'll be teaching a class there at 3 p.m. And then all the performances will start around 6 o'clock. And it's all absolutely free. So if you have Saturday off, come out, check us out there as well. And then also August 13th, we're doing kind of a collaboration with Vines Festival, which is like a performance festival in the city. Mm-hmm. And we're doing a sort of a mini ball at David Land Park in Yale Town too. So lots of Vogue ballroom.
Yeah, lots going on. That's really cool.
Yep.
So beyond... like Pride season, how can people get involved with Van Vogue Jam?
So if you want to learn more about us, you can follow us on Instagram or on Facebook. That's Van Vogue Jam, VanVogueJam. And we usually post all the information classes on there. For the rest of the summer, we'll be still doing our classes every Tuesday, 7:45 to 9 p.m. and 9 to 10 at the Hudson Square. And then coming into September, we'll be moving into KW Studios, which is in Gastown at the Woodward Atrium space.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Was there anything else you wanted to like revisit or talk about that we didn't get to?
I think we're good.
All right. Cool. Thank you so much.
Cool.
I really appreciate it. I'll see you soon.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
The full spectrum of house. It is delivered to your ears by legendary DJ System Disco.
Kiwi DJ System Disco brings you a different spectrum of house each week. He got funky, he got deep, also go disco, French, forget it, electro, punches, tech, mall, no, and there's boo, and uplifting. Also, did I mention funky?
Every second Saturday night from 9 p.m. until 10 p.m. and every Sunday morning from 6 a.m. until 7 a.m.
This is the full spectrum of house.
Welcome back to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Coquitlam people. I'm Kira, this is a special Pride episode of Speak Up, and we just listened to an interview that I did with a very close friend of mine, and actually the mother of the House of Visalia, so my mother, Ralph Escamillan. I really, really loved doing that interview, gave me a chance to learn a little bit more about Ralph, and to just talk about something that I really care about, and I know he really cares about as well, and I hope it was informative for people listening. And maybe some of you were inspired to check out the ball happening on Thursday at the Warehouse. If you want to find out more about that event, you can go to Van Vogue Jam's Facebook or Instagram page at Van Vogue Jam, just like Ralph said in that interview. And yeah, again, there's so much going on in Vancouver for Pride this week. All sorts of events. It's a little overwhelming to try and figure out which ones to go to. But I'm certainly looking forward to it. This is kind of bringing us to the end of the hour for this Speak Up today. And next up, we have Democracy Now! And throughout the day, I think we've got quite a bit more special Pride programming. I think if you tune in around 2 o'clock, we'll have... during that Jambalaya slot, there will be an interesting kind of piece on Asexuality, which is a rebroadcast of one of our programs from a few years ago. It's really interesting. I've taken a good listen to that, and I really found it informative. And yeah, just throughout the day and throughout the week, there'll be special programming for Pride. I've really enjoyed doing my last two speak-ups yesterday and today, and I really hope that you have enjoyed listening to them. And I'm going to take us out of the hour with one more, or a sample of one more Vogue beat, because they tend to be pretty long. But this one is Thundercats by Juan. I'm not going to pronounce that right. It's V-J-U-A-N Allure. It's another fun one. All right.